We're doing brachos, we're up to tetzayin amud aleph, we're up to two dots. We said in the Mishnah, if you read Shema out of order, you're not yotzer. Rabbi Yami and Rabbi Yasi, Abu Kakatlin, Negin al Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Yami and Rabbi Yasi, the disciples, or second generation disciples of Rabbi Yochanan, were preparing the chuppah for Rabbi Elazar, the prime disciple of Rabbi Yochanan in Israel. He told them, guys, while you're finishing off with the chuppah, preparing me the chuppah for my marriage, I'm going to run to the Beis Medrash, and the eighty ve'ema lechu, I'll hear what they're teaching in the academy. I'll come back. I'll tell you what they're learning there. Azali went to the Beis Medrash. Ashkech eletana diktani kamed Rav Yochanan. He found the guy who was repeating Mishnayos. The Tana is the guy who knew Mishnayos by heart. He said before Rabbi Yochanan, he was all of their Rebbe. He was saying before Rabbi Yochanan the following: Karav ta'a ve'ino yoda lechan ta'a. If someone was reading Shema, and then he erred, and he's not sure where he's up to. He's all confused. Where am I? So then the Braisa says the following. It depends on where he finds himself. Yechzor l'rosh, start from scratch. If you don't know where you're up to, then. So I'm reading with the Agos Habach. Be'emza perek, if he knows he's in the middle of a chapter, so then, yechzor l'tchilat perek, go back to the beginning of that chapter, because you don't know where you're up to, so you got to start again. Then perek leperek, if you're in between chapters, yachzor leperek rishon, so then you gotta go back to the first pause, meaning perek is a joint, really. So you go back to the first joint, which is v'hoyim shamoa. You know, you're in one chapter, you said one thing, you're up to one joint. Where are you up to? So go back to the first perek. And here, Rashi says perek rishon means v'hoyim shamoa. Other rishonim say perek rishon means v'ahavta. That between shema and v'ahavta is also like a joint. And if you're not sure where you're up to, so that's the first place you got to go back to. That's the first joint, if you know you're in the middle of a perek. Ben k'tiva l'k'tiva, let's say he's not sure which uchtavtam he's up to, uchsavtam of shema or v'hoyim shamoa, yachzor l'k'tiva rishonai. You got to go back to the first one. Amale Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said to the Tana, the guy who was quoting this braisa, lo shanu ela shelo patach b'leman yubuyim eichem. This halacha is only stated, provided that he did not begin with the words leman yubuyim eichem. Aval patach b'leman yubuyim eichem. If he starts saying leman yubuyim eichem, and then he has to ask himself, wait a second, did I skip? Was I at the right uchsavtam? Am I saying it right? So then we assume sechei nakat ve'ati. He's going according to what he's used to, so we assume he got it right. Atav amalu, so he heard this halacha, he came back and he told Rav Ami and Rav Asi what Rav Yochanan said in the Beis Medrash. Amru lei, they said to him, ilu lo banu la lishma davar ze dayenu. If we'd only come to hear that, that would have been enough. We're here for the great simcha of your wedding, but even just for that halacha, it was worthwhile coming. Ha'umanim kulin b'rosh ha'ilan v'rosh ha'nid bach. We're up to the Mishnah. If you have umanim, you have people who are hired to work for the day, and of course they start working at the crack of dawn, and now it comes time for Shema, and they're up there working. They're at the top of the tree picking bananas, whatever. They're at the top of the tree picking fruits. So they read the Shema b'rosh ha'ilan v'rosh ha'nidbach. They read the Shema up there at the top of the tree, or if they're on top of a scaffold, they read it on top of the scaffold. They would not be permitted to do that when it comes to Shmona Esrei, because Shmona Esrei requires Kavanah. Shmona Esrei is about asking God for mercy. So you can't be focused the way you should on the top of a tree when you're picking things. You can't be focused the way you should on top of a scaffold. You're too focused not to fall down. So when it comes to Shema, which requires Kavanah for one pasuk, we say you can do it up there. But when it comes to Tefillah, Shmona Esrei, you're not going to be focused, or maybe you'll be focused and be in danger. So we say, don't do that. Don't daven Shmona Esrei up there in the tree. Chatan patum kriyat Shema laila rishona. The first night, the chasen, when he comes to the chuppah, and then he's celebrating, he's dancing throughout the wedding. So from the chuppah, that first night, he's pater from Shema, v'ad motzei shabbat im lasa maaseh. And if they haven't yet been intimate, so we say, the next two nights, meaning if they got married Wednesday night, so Thursday night and Friday night, we say if nothing happened yet, so then he's putter from Shema, because Shema requires focus, and he's out of focus. He's all the time worried about how things are going to work out tonight, and his mind is there, and he won't be focused on Shema. So we say today, halacha lemaisa, none of us are ever focused on Shema. So our focus on the night of the wedding won't be any worse than the rest of the year, and we read Shema. But in their day and age, they used to focus on Shema. So the chassan would not read Shema the night of his wedding. And what happens if the night of the wedding nothing happens, and the next night is when things are going to happen? They fall asleep, or the wedding goes the whole night, and by the time they get home, it's 6 o'clock in the morning, and they both fall asleep. And now he wakes up. Oh, tonight is when things are going to happen. So then the next night, the same thing. He's pater from Shema in their day and age, because right now his mind is focused on a different mitzvah, and he won't have the focus he should for Shema. Umaseb Rabban Gamliel shenasa isha. It happened. Rabban Gamliel got married. Vekara laila rishonah. And the first night of the wedding, he's sitting there with the minyan reading Shema, fully focused. After he finishes his Shema, Amrulo Talmidav, his student said to him, Limatanu Rabbeinu, Shechatan Patumikirat Shema, didn't you teach us, Rabbi, that a chasm is potter? Why were you reading Shema tonight? Amar lehem, eni shoma lachem levatel imenu malchut shamayim filo shachat. He said, I'm not listening to you guys. If you want me to do away with my fear of heaven, even for a short interval, you might say, no, so after the wedding, you'll be with your wife, and after you're with your wife, then read the Shema, then you'll be focused. He said, I'm not waiting. I have a mitzvah of accepting the yoke of heaven, and I can't wait. Even for that interval. Okay, so the Gemara is going to discuss what was going on with Rabbi Gamliel. What the Mishnah is teaching us is that a giant who knows that he could be focused, so then he could say God's name. The whole idea here is you don't just stam say Shema, you don't just say God's name if you know you're not going to be focused when you say it. Rabbi Gamliel was big enough to know that he would be focused, and the Mishnah teaches us that someone big enough could do it. Today, we're all so small that we're never focused, so the night of our wedding is no different, unfortunately. Tanu Rabbanan, the Braisa says, Ha'munim kurin brosh eilanu brosh anidbach, the workers read Shema on top of the tree or on top of the scaffold, umitpalelin, and they could daven shmona esrei, not like our Mishnah said, but the Braisa quantifies it, b'rosh hazayit u'b'rosh ha'teinah, when they're at the top of an olive tree or on top of a fig tree. But any other tree, yoredin lemato mitpalelin. Then they go down and they read their Shema. An olive tree or a fig tree, they have enough branches that they could stand there confident that the tree won't crack under them and they won't fall down. So then, when they're at the top, they can daven. But other trees, you can't be as confident. Uvala bayit, and the guy who's the boss, so he's not under any pressure. It doesn't matter which tree he happens to be on top when the time of Shema comes. It doesn't matter which tree he's on top of. He should go down and daven because he's not under anyone's pressure. He's the boss. So he'll take 5 minutes off and daven Shmoneh Esrei the way he should. Because he's not as focused as he should be when he's on top. At the end of the day, you know you're not going to be as focused. For the workers, because they're being paid by the hour. And the boss is going to be very upset if you take the time off to climb down and climb back up. So the rabbis were more lenient. For the boss, they weren't lenient. And all of this, the commentaries say, was in their day and age, where workers were really expected to work every minute. The Talmud tells us that Abba Chilkiah, the grandson of Choni HaMe'agel, was once working, and the rabbis came and asked him, they just said hello, Shalom Aleichem, and he wouldn't even look at them. Because he was hired to work for the day and he couldn't take off the minute to look at them and say hello. He was being paid to do his job. So in their day and age, people were careful down to the second. Today, when someone hires you, he knows that there's a certain amount which every worker is going to take off and every boss assumes the worker is going to take off. It's a given. It's not the way it should be. The bigger sages were more careful not to take the time off. But at the end of the day, there's an understanding that it does work that way. And a boss is assuming that that's the work ethic today, that there's a certain amount you're going to take off, and that's normal. And no one holds it against you. So all of these halachas were relevant in their day and age. How far do you take that? So there's a story about Rav Kook Zatzal, that witnesses once came to testify that a woman, her husband gave her a kosher divorce contract, and Rav Kook, you know the story? Rav Kook heard the witnesses out, and it's very important to permit a woman to get remarried. It's considered one of the most important halachos a court could ever preside upon. And he said, you know what, it's getting late. Before we rule on this story, I want to daven mincha, because it's getting late. He went to daven mincha, And he davened and davened and davened and davened and davened, and he didn't finish his mincha. And the sun set, and he didn't finish his mincha. He finishes his mincha, and he says, okay, it's too late, we'll have to deal with this tomorrow. I'm very sorry, the sun set on us, we can't deal with it now. And that night, they get word that the two witnesses were hired, and they were liars, and they were just framing the case, because the woman wanted to get remarried, but she never was really divorced. She was a married woman. She just hired two people to go and give false testimony on her behalf. So they came to Rav Kook, and they said, are you a prophet? How'd you know? Why'd you daven such a long Shmona Esrei suddenly? So Rav Kook said, well, I'm not a prophet. It's not that I knew. But one of the witnesses used to send me letters asking me questions. And he'd write the letter. He used to be an officer in the British Army. And he'd write the letter on their stationery. And I didn't want to accept a witness who could use the army stationery to write me a letter. So I asked myself, what am I going to do? I need to permit this woman. I have witnesses here that say she should be permitted. On the other hand, one of the witnesses in my mind is quite possibly a thief. I can't trust him. I didn't know what to do. So I said, let me think it overnight. So I said, you know what? Let's go daven mincha and then we'll deal with it. I went to daven mincha and I had in mind, I'll daven a long, long, long mincha. And that way I'll push off the case till tomorrow and I'll think it over. I'll see what am I supposed to do. By the time I had time to think it over, it was actually clarified that really they were false witnesses. So you see how careful you have to be even today. The guy used stationery from his job and Rav Kook didn't want to accept him as a witness. He said, that's a thief. So even though we are more lenient today, we're not as careful as they were in Chazal's time, but we have to know that that also has its limitations, and the more pious a person is, the more careful they should be not to take things that they're not entitled to.